qué te propuso. I think I make a mistake. I want to ask anything of maybe put something on. As I read yesterday that the language bill is here in Parliament, and as we was discussed 2 weeks or 3 weeks back, when the DG was saying in his annual report that there will some of the legislation be pushed for the next financial year, but luckily they bring this bill to us even before next year, as they was making that commitment. So the language bill is now here in Parliament, so it must come to the portfolio committee as well. And the portfolio committee, I think the secretary did bring the copies to the committee. So maybe we must really add that one on the agenda so that we can discuss when will we starting and moving with the public participation process as well. I think that one can be added on the agenda. Okay. So members, we agree all?
Yes.
If they not put this one also. Yeah. So honourable members, in the absence of no absence in the on the apology of the chairperson, I want to welcome everybody in this portfolio committee. I think this meeting is very important for us when we're dealing with the National Arts Council of South Africa. And as we were hearing by the IG, it's not looking so good. So I think on that note, we welcome so that it can be fresh and open-minded when we're dealing with the National Arts Council. The apologies is as follows. We have the apology for the chairperson who brought to Portugal. I hope maybe one of those languages will maybe be accommodated in this language, but when we deal with language, that we also need to learn Portuguese or Spain or whatever. So when we, or friends, when we go abroad, we can communicate maybe some of those languages, just and say good morning, good afternoon, or whatever. Then also we have apology of Mama Sveli. She's not able to attend the meeting, maybe I think also attend the other committees. And then Honorable Tapana is also sent the apology. And Honorable I'm sorry, saying she was coming, but we will not stay long in the meeting. So maybe she assumed the meeting is at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So we will see if she arrives here in the meeting. I think that's the apologies. Accepted. Agreed to. Then we must then look on the issues of, as we agreed the previous time, we must look on the issues of the next issue is the presentation about us, but this when they coming. But maybe we as long as sitting here, maybe we must maybe look to the issues, maybe what we saw in the presentation or in the report, so that we can be on one if we're dealing with what we're dealing with the leave them and then dealing with the next other language one. I want to be advised with the members. Must we hear a lot of it?
Yeah, I think in terms of the presentation that we received and also the document that John sent out, I think last night, about from the research office, think it is quite clear that we'll have to focus on the downtown studio situation as well as supply chain management and the whole funding model.
Yeah.
And I think another important point there was the fact that they keep on postponing things every year. So I think it's because we can ask all kinds of smaller issues, but I think those are the things that I picked up to me that those are the crucial ones that they gave rise to the adverse opinion. And maybe we should talk about the language thing when we've done. Although, are they only coming in at 12? Okay, 10. Okay, then maybe we can quickly talk about the language board.
To be part of the main agenda point of National Arts Council. I think this will be properly. As I heard from ACC yesterday, that the bill is presented to the Parliament, and then the Minister and the Department will decide in Cabinet. So it's now for us as a portfolio committee to take it forward. I get a copy here of the bill. I don't know. Maybe get legal people to go through with us in the committee through the bill, or must we discuss then when we can have our public hearings process taking place?
I would propose that it's very important that we set dates for the public participation because there's a lot of interest in the bill. I have to say that I'm still very worried that the minister is going to be held in contempt of court order, because if he does not have an act by the 15th of March next year, he will be in contempt. So I don't know the parliamentary processes. I doubt whether we will be able to deal with everything before then and to get it through the House. So that is the reality of the matter. And I know that the lawyer who instituted the court case against the minister is going to proceed with an action of contempt. So I think it's crucial that we start off by just getting dates for public participation and then discuss this with the minister. The chairperson will have to discuss the seriousness and the urgency with the minister.
I think on the lottery, that's why I when as soon as I hear yesterday in the House, some of the people were telling me that the police department was not even aware when the minister was presented. So that we also can maybe as MPs to say maybe to listen and observe when he was speaking towards the bill. But anyhow, that's why I was making the point that we must discuss and talk about it. How can we fast track this process so there will not be loopholes on the issue again? And as you said now, it doesn't mean this is a very urgent matter to be actually pushing through. So we must look at all the time frame constraints so that we not have loopholes and give people reasons to make to legal actions on the bill. So I think maybe the secretary must maybe check for us on the dates of but I think we must check must we do it this year, because when I hear about this, I was honest and frank, I phoned yesterday night at chairperson when I hear about this policy here, because we make I think three times or four times the point in the annual report processes of the department, and we put it very frank that the department do not enough to push through legislation. And when I hear yesterday about this legislation, I phoned the chairperson yesterday night to check on her, is she aware that legislation is here in Parliament, when can we at the portfolio committee taking this bill forward? And then she said in that it's only, I think there's only 3 weeks before the house is closing. But they will be still portfolio committee meeting to proceed till the 10 or I think the 9 of December. Yeah. So then I was asking, what about next year, 2012, in January when we came back from constituency work? Then she said, yes, we can also look in that. We know it's the state of the nation, but it will not affect the process because state of the nation is only one day. So that we can at least put the birth push it through in March in the house in NA in March if we can do it early, start early next year over the public process. I don't know if we will reach the 8 weeks of secretary.
It's roughly 6 weeks was most I suppose we have seen that what Honorable Lotrita should say, that the deadline is the 15th of March, I then suppose we should then start with it immediately. Maybe just have the department at least brief us on the actual bill, and then maybe that other week, I don't know, members, it's totally up to members. It's a tight deadline.
Yeah, I will actually support the idea of trying to look at this, you know, as an urgent matter, and also supporting Dr. Lopez's proposal. And, but in addition to that, I needed to propose an emphasis of looking at earlier dates for both, you know, the department to brief us, and also looking at the legal team as well, because at this stage it really needs some kind of, you know, legal understanding on this, so that it goes along with the actual understanding of what's better. So I really don't know what would actually really hold us back, you know, to continue with this and just climb on it, you know, whenever we find any opportunity, you know, as long as, you know, the committees are still given a chance to sit, and, you know, even before end of, I mean, like at the beginning of December or so, and then so on. I'm not sure about that trip, but then if we look at it as an urgent matter, it will be okay, especially with the two, because that will actually pave the way, you know, for us to do the work.
Then we must then cancel the oversight tour of Malaysia.
I'm out of quarters for me.
Are you then on the logic?
We will be needing two.
14 days for the advertisements of public participation also. To answer your question, Mr. Chikela, we will obviously have to inform the state law advisor as well as the parliamentary legal team. They will be part of the whole process throughout until it gets adopted by both houses.
I think in light of this urgency, I remember also the chairperson said that the moment there's legislation, it takes precedence over any other matter. So I would propose that we actually now postpone Nelson Mandela Museum and the department, whatever they skills thing that they still have to do, to next year. And that we now focus on the book. And then we could perhaps, if we can make decisions today, and if you can perhaps contact the chair overseas, that we actually now tentatively decide on dates so that Johnny can advertise it for public participation. Because we must also take into consideration that there will be challenges to this bill in terms of its content. I've gone through it and it has a lot of work still. So it's not going to be a matter of listening and it will go through. Not. So we have to have enough time for us to deliberate after public participation. So I really think we should try to push for public participation this year, and I think it's going to be tough now, but if we can put the ads out now, and next week have the department brief us with their legal advisor, so that we're ready for public participation. So that we can finalise that phase before end of year end. And then next year we deliberate.
I was thinking, Honourable Rossi, the public participation process cannot start next year. If you do all the processes of Parliament, maybe as you propose for this year, before the end of the month. If you said maybe next week the department and the legal people might come to brief the committee, and then the advert must also be advertised on the public participation process, and then I think that process can start early next year. I was also thinking, as you say, you go to the bill and some of technical staff in the bus, will it not be necessary to take the bill to the people, to province by province, so that we will not be because of not if you publish the effort and people must submit the submission. But when the public process is starting, it's not the committee you must pay for those people who come to travel to Parliament. Or is it Parliament who do that? Or come there on their own expense as organizations? I mean the NGOs, the CBOs, those other organizations who participate in this process.
The efforts will go out, and obviously we will have to make it in a bind form. The committee will then decide who they want to listen to, but also considering also the other submissions. But in terms of traveling, they actually supposed to pay for their own travel.
But I still feel that the public participation process must really start early next year. We will not do justice if we want to push everything in this short time. I think the best way is that we deal in the things that we're supposed to deal as MPs of this portfolio committee or the department. And the public participation process, I think it can start early next year. If we must postpone our constituency work because it's only a few days, then we will come out on a lottery to write your constituency. All of us, but I think if we must, because we go come back from the rest of season to dealing with the participation process. Because it was Duncan.
Thank you, Jefferson. I do believe that the preparation process is going to be very important. And I want to suggest that obviously it's going to go into the most important newspaper as per province, making sure of that it is advertised there. And then I do suggest that we nominate some of the members, and I will now just make an example like the chairperson. I know that Member Lockridge is also, you know, very much onto this bill, and her knowledge and expertise there. Maybe for us to organize a briefing on television on SABC, and I think that might just, you know, make the necessary impact with regard of getting the stakeholders that we actually want and need to give effect to the language bill. So that is a proposal from my side. Thank you.
I think with the preparations on Duncan, I think we as the management committee, we will discuss this thing further. That's why I was trying to get in the years or whatever from the members of the team. So when the chairperson comes back on Monday, we're going to meet very early on Tuesday morning to fast track the procedures and the processes on the issue of the bill. But I will speak to her that we said that next week on Wednesday, from next week on Wednesday, the department was in the legal people must start to take us through the bill. And from there then we're going to move. Yeah. So, my story, welcome to the wiki. We just discussing the issue of the process that we must start and fast track. I did spoke yesterday. I said to the honourable members yesterday here in the sitting of the Paris, here some of the members that the language was here in Parliament, and that as the committee was putting pressure on the DG on the issue of legislation, because was for a long time this portfolio committee. This is a textual legislation in Parliament. So they bring in the language bill. It's now here in Parliament. Now the committee is the members who must fast-track the process now to take the bill forward. I said even I did phone yesterday night the chairperson. The chairperson was saying that the time is up for this year. We must have this for early next year. But then, as we discussed now, we agree that we're going to put some of the things who are on the agenda already aside for next year, and then we're dealing with the bill, like for next week. Next week? Then the other one, there must be next week with us. So we said we must put it aside for next year, and then rather allowed the department to come to brief us on the municipal and the legal people so that we can move forward.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't know I thought the meeting started. didn't hear that you are going to have a small Anyana caucus.
We agreed in the previous meetings that at the committee we take half an hour at the committee to just to discuss the technical things that we pick up maybe in reports or so forth, so that we have a collective so that we have a collective consensus when we dealing with the reports, because after we pick up in the report of the department of the budget review process, the things that they come to present as was not the true reflection was in the report, in the booklet. So when we go page by page, it was totally a different view of what they were presenting to us. From there we decide on that we go through things up front.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, if I hear it clearly that you are insisting on moving some of the items that were going to be in your program prior to our arriving, so that we can deal with the bill. That's what you're saying. And the chairperson's idea was that we start with this next year. I think I'll support the committee decision, because I also think that public hearings are of importance. And if we are going to start with public hearings next year, it might delay us, and there's also an issue of the court thing on this day, and that might give us a problem. I think I concur with the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sorry. Yes, I think we are all of us agree on that one. As I was informed, the chairperson I fall in the night because it's much cheaper. So, but Vera is here, the personal CEO of the chairperson. I think Vera, after the meeting, we can communicate this decision to the chairperson. Yeah, thank you very much. I think we must call those people in. I think we must the National Arts Council in, because it's already 5:10 and we're supposed to start with 10:00. I think we, as the secretary was informing me, we have also a new researcher was asked in the committee now. Mr. Baloy, who is he? Are you the new researcher?
Actually, I'm just assisting. Because I belong to another committee, but I'll be assisting up until a new researcher for this committee has been appointed.
But the point still says you are the new researcher. Yes, of
course.
Yes. Never mind what you think, what kind of researcher, but you are the researcher here in the
committee.
Yeah, the researcher who is with the temporary or permanent, and the researcher was assigned to us. And now I want that commitment. So when we need something, that you know who to go to.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Especially when we're dealing now with the issue of the bus. It will be important. As we welcome in the meeting. morning, the public entity of NESA Arts Council of South Africa. Good morning, everybody. We welcome in our meeting. We are morning, Titi. We already start with our meeting, but it was not that we were discussing those. We were discussing our outstanding matters that we feel that we want to fast track. And I can tell you, this is what about the issue of the language but that we were discussing as the portfolio committee. Not in detail, but just to say how we fast track the process for the way forward. As you know, the time frame is very limited to us. The year is finished. Then, about as the committee, we're pushing that, as I said, at least we must put one legislation through as you was made your commitment 3 weeks back, that you will take one legislation maybe next year for the book year. But you surprised us to bring one earlier that we were thinking that you were okay. But I think everybody will introduce themselves, because sometimes you pronounce not the person's name or the surname right, and the person becomes comfortable with it. So I will start with the portfolio committee. My name is Linda Moore. I'm the acting chairperson, elect now, because our chairperson is in Portugal. He's coming back on Monday. That's why I'm just acting. But I'm a member of the ANC. I'm sorry.
Hey, my name is Dori Mbuto. I'm a member of this committee. I am deployed by the ANC.
It's my name. I'm a member of this committee deployed by the ANC. Nandi Mukumele Nzikela, and Hilu Mulale Committee, the representative of Congress of the People.
That is our delegation from the National Arts Council.
Thank you very much. I think the department can do a strategy.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Busiso Kaba, DG for Arts and Culture. My colleagues will introduce themselves. Perhaps let me just mention that we also have Ms. Chola Mahamad, who is the CEO of Downtown Music Hub.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, good morning. My name is Mbulelo Chokwene, Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning. My name is Glenn Uchebe Masokwane from the DAC.
Koket Manajewe from the DAC. Matia Pohanedi, also from DAC.
My name is Mulele Kinidim. Good morning. I am with the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning. My name is Mac Lowell from Arts and Culture.
Good morning. My name is Emma Hassan, TNO, Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning. My name is Lodi Kralibiti, Department of Arts and Culture.
Previous person is maybe introduced himself because it's my question. Was it on? Because he must be recorded by PMG also.
My name is Rodri Kralibiti from the Department of Art and Culture.
Some story?
Can I quickly go through that, Jay?
Yeah.
Mr. Glenn Masokwane is responsible for multimedia, multidisciplinary in the department. Dr. Jowin is sitting next to him, is the acting DDG for culture and society. Ms. Nagedi is responsible for special projects in the DG's office. Next to her is Ms. Khanedi, who is the minister's legal advisor. Mr. Mulele Geledimo is responsible for arts, culture, and youth development. And next to him, Mr. Mac Lewell is responsible for media relations in the department. Mr. Sam Mahatlan is the parliamentary liaison officer for the minister, and Mr. Alebibi is the parliamentary liaison officer for the DG.
Are you fine? Not on the story? Is it? Okay. Thank you very much for the introduction. I think we will go strictly in the presentation. I think maybe the chairperson of the board will do the presentation over the FCO to it. Both of you. As you know, National Art Council, there were some few things that the AG was reporting in the annual report, so on your qualified audit report. So I think we must be very frank and faithful and speak towards those things, because it's the only way that we can move forward. And also one of the issues was the downtown studios was also a critical one. So today we want to hear that maybe how will you take it forward? Because that downtown studios will always, I think it's 4 years that will make you getting a negative report. So we must hear how will you address that? It can't be going years for years for years. We must say to the year, what is the solution towards it? And if you don't have a solution, we as the portfolio committee will make a recommendation to give you a solution on the matter. I think then I will hand over to the chairperson of the board.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and also thank you for giving us the opportunity to come and present our annual report. I would like to give an overview of some of the pressing issues that have come up, and that the, some of them that the AG has actually in fact highlighted. The first one that I would like to start with is Downtown Studio. Downtown Studios was bought by the National Council on behalf of the DAC in the year 2009. We were then asked to hold the asset until proper management and governance structures were put in place. Several meetings have been held, Chairperson, and we have a sense of comfort that those structures have been put in place. And the DG will, I'm sure, attest to that, and perhaps he will add to that afterwards. But I can give the House the assurance that the matter is receiving our most urgent attention, because we do appreciate that we cannot keep coming back with the same issue unresolved. I'd like to then move on to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which has also been highlighted by the agent. Now, that also we have taken very, very seriously. We have done a preliminary forensic investigation, and the report of that forensic investigation is actually in the annual report from page 75 to page 79, where we give a summary of the findings of the forensic report. We are meeting as council on the 23rd of November to present and discuss the preliminary report. A full forensic investigation will then be undertaken after the council meeting. And I can give this House the assurance that National Arts Council is prepared to take disciplinary and corrective action where necessary. We will not condone any wrongdoing, because we believe that it is our responsibility to make sure that such things do not happen again in future. Now, the new council was inaugurated by the Minister of Arts and Culture on the 29th of March this year. And when we came on board, we found that there were some management and staff issues that needed our attention. We spent time, we took it very, very seriously, because human resources to us is the blood of the organization. And we knew that unless we resolve those issues, our lives will not be easy as a council. So we took that very seriously. Council set up a special HR committee. We held numerous meetings. We interviewed people individually to get to the bottom of these issues. We have come up with a report with recommendations, and we identified some challenges, and we are putting programs in place in order to address those issues. We also then undertook the process of appointing a CEO and a CFO, because in my introduction, I did introduce the acting CEO and the acting CFO. We've done our interviews, we've got our recommendations, which we will present to Council on the 23rd of November, and we will be making appointments into those two critical positions. Chairperson, I think I will stop there with my overview, and I will hand over to our acting CEO, Mr. Mnisi, to continue with the presentation. I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, my presentation basically will roughly cover some of the aspects that the chairperson has raised. But basically the purpose of this presentation is to outline an overall overview of the National Arts Council of South Africa's performance during the 2010-2011 financial year,
but also to provide an overview of activities in response to the legislative mandate and the policies and the strategic plan that we've in the NTEF, but also to solicit the inputs from the honourable members in terms of the legislative mandate, the priorities of government in order to achieve the vision and the mission of the National Arts Council. Basically, we want to firstly outline the formation of the NAC, which is critical in terms of redirecting this presentation. The National Arts Council was established in terms of the Act of Parliament of 1956, of 1997, and also the Cultural Law Amendment Act was also introduced to amend the National Arts Council Act. There are two primary areas that the Cultural Law Amendment Act impact on the National Arts Council Act. One is the appointment of the chairperson. Previously, the council members themselves used to appoint the chairperson, but Cultural Law Amendment Act ensures that the minister appoint the chairperson. But also the term of office of the members of the council was 3 years. The Cultural Law Amendment Act amend that to 4 years. The mission and the vision of the National Arts Council is to promote through the arts free the creative expression of South African culture. This actually it upholds the principle of the Constitution, as you can see, but also the vision is to develop and promote excellence in the arts. And the reason why is that we're taking into consideration the fact that the National Arts Council has dual role. One is to develop the arts in communities, but also to recognize the already established arts organization within the sector to promote them to the next level, and in fact to promote also international exchanges as well. These are the mandate or the object of the Act that are outlined within the National Arts Council Act. There are actually three primary roles. I will skim through this one because they are already included within the annual report, but also in the National Arts Council Act. The primary role that this Act outlined us is that in the fact that one is the issue of development, which is critical to ensuring that as we give funding, we ensure that we make sure that there is a development aspect that we do. But also the issue of redress, it features prominently that the National Arts Council has a responsibility to redress the past imbalances of our communities. And the third aspect, of course, is excellence. We have to really ensure that there is excellence within the artistic environment that is promoted within the sector as well. This Act, I must say, honorable members, that the object of the Act that they were developed during 1996, during the time of the RDP. And but however, the objects are still relevant today as in 1996. the Act also has some operational directives which somehow, some way affect the operations of the NAC as to what we need to do, what we don't need to do as well. One of the critical areas is that the Act obliges the NAC to utilize 75% of its annual allocation towards grant and 25% towards administrative costs. So as you can see, honorable members, that our funding, our role primarily is funding, that we have to channel funding to the arts organization, not necessarily to do programs and projects. Also, the Act prohibits the NAC to establish, acquire, or operate any arts organization or institution connected with the arts. This also relates to the issue of downtown, the fact that we were holding this the downtown studio in trust until the special purpose vehicle was established to transfer to it. And also, the Act gives powers to council to establish advisory panels which advises council on merits of the application. This is the issue of also policy, that there is that governance between council and the panel, people who decide on application and the council that approves those recommendations from the panel. Last year, 250 arts organizations were supported and 60% were community-based arts organizations. There was also 6 flagship projects which were supported out of what we term a surplus fund, but the real term is a committed fund to the value of 1.1 million. The National Arts Council also participated in the festivities of 2010 Soccer World Cup by partnering with the 6 funded provinces. These are the Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest, Mpumalanga, and Eastern Cape. These provinces, honorable members, these are the least recipients of our funding during the funding sessions. And henceforth, we have embarked on a strategy to actually ensure that when we do our programs, we actually ensure that these provinces also benefited. But also, we conducted workshops within these 6 provinces, the funding workshop. We assist the artistic community in terms of filling application form, assisting them in terms of what are requirements of the funding in terms of the compliance documents and all that. And in this regard, 10 districts were covered and 979 participants attended this workshop. The NAC also partnered with the Windy Pro in hosting the 2 theatre production out of the 2009 script development program. During the Grahamstown Festival, we do have a so you can write a script development program, whereby we took up and coming young script writers, we mentor them, and then we develop that script into a fully fledged production. So during the previous financial year, we had partnered with the Windy Pro to make sure that these scripts are presented in a form of theatre. We have done so also at the Grahamstown Festival. The application form has also been reviewed to become more interactive and to capture important data of the stakeholders. By this, what we have done, honourable members, is that we have actually asked questions to the stakeholders out there as to what other services do they need from the NAC other than funding. Because we discovered that it is not only funding where we need to assist the stakeholders out there, but we also, some of the arts organizations will need the arts administration programs, will need the arts development programs. So henceforth, we want to hear from the stakeholders and not assume that the stakeholders that always need money to do their artistic program. A process of revamping a grants management system to reduce the funding turnaround time as time by approximately 30 has been started. Yes, indeed, we are in the process of finalizing the grants management system, and we hope that this grants management system will reduce the funding process by 30%. Also, NAC has hosted 2 seminars on arts-related topics to engage artistic community on the sector and policy issues. We have also held one during this financial year in the month of October. And we have a very good review in terms of publicity to the art seminars that we hold. But also in the previous financial year, we had 2 research projects were conducted. One was on public participation on the arts, and the other was on the impact assessment study of the NAC funding. And these 2 reports are also available at the National Arts Council. The top of the challenges, as the chairperson has already outlined, the downtown studio remain major challenges in attaining a clean audit. And the 16% budget cut has a negative impact on the operation of the NAC, particularly around funding, due to artificial surplus. The surplus was actually committed funding to be distributed. The absence of council during the last 6 months of the reporting period compromised governance and operations. Some of the issues are reflected within the annual report, whereby, you know, during that period there was no council, whereby management had to struggle in terms of decision making. Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN remain the 3 provinces that receive greater portion of funding. We still struggling with that, and the national lottery also, the funding is channeled towards these provinces, and henceforth, we have embarked
partnering with the 6 provinces to ensure that some of the funds are channeled through the provinces. Poor functioning of provincial arts and culture council puts a burden on the NAC resources. Some of the provinces, as we have done some workshop with them, we've discovered that they are under-resourced, and the NAC, as you know, we really have to go deeper into the community level and actually make those interventions and assist in supporting their programs there, because of the provinces, they have a challenge in terms of financing, in terms of governance and administration. So, but the NAC also is embarking on actually working together with the provinces to come up with strategies to ensure that there's synergies and there's a sharing of resources in terms of supporting the artists on the ground. The South African Norwegian program, MINO, came to an end at the financial year. And this program was actually instrumental in actually augmenting the NAC funding in supporting the artistic community, particularly in the music sector. Budget implication. Honorable members, here I will be talking more of budget implication as we are allocated on an annual basis. My colleague, Mr. Simon Letwalo, will talk about the extra budget, but this is from the perspective of the annual allocation as we budget within the organization and the impact thereof. In 2010-11, the allocation was 65 million. Now, 75% towards funding was 49 million, of which 22 million was committed towards company funding and 15 million towards orchestras. We fund 3 orchestras which are ring-fenced through the department to the National Arts Council. Now, if we take out the company funding and the orchestras, the remaining allocation is 12 million. Which has to be distributed annually to the arts organization. And then this 12 million is allocated among 7 arts disciplines, which is dance, music, theater, multi-discipline, and crafts as well. So as you can see, the allocation itself per discipline is 1.7 million. So, and we are talking here a distribution around nationally, not only within a specific province, but it's a national allocation. The National Arts Council also funded 183 projects and individuals out of 964 applications received. So we are not even covering the quota of the amount of applications that we have received. So, honorable members, then the amount of application received, there are certain applications which does not meet the standard of the NAC, and the number is also included there. But we just like to show the honorable members that we are expected to support the national project out of the budget that we receive. It actually is not sufficient to cater for the needs of the community. The highest number of funding requests were received from CRAFT, and they were 117, and then multi-discipline 135, and music opera 102. So these are the three biggest requests that we received from the artistic community. CRAFT is because of it's largest because most of the provinces, particularly those who are highly rural, they practice. But in terms of allocation, as you can see, in terms of a rent value, it goes down. The total amount of requests from the 964 project individual and bursaries was 466 million. So, which means that the amount, if we take the 964 application and we add their budget, they come to 466 million. So in an actual fact, in order to fund these applications, we need the 466 million. An average funding request per project is 407, and NACSA could only allocate 190 as the highest amount to a project. So also here, we are not even covering half of the allocation, which is a concern as well. 11 projects received an amount ranging from 100,000
190,000. And 66 projects and individuals receive amounts that range from 50,000 to 100,000. And organizations and individuals below 50,000 were 106. These are basically the statistics of application funded per category. As you can see, we have a company funding, we have a committed funds, which usually they call it a surplus, it's not a surplus, and we have also extra funding, which are the ring fence amount from the BAC. Out of the project funding, now it covers organizational funding, individual funding, institutional bursaries, and individual bursaries. Institutional bursaries, sometimes we do fund the institution like VET, Victoria University, and all that. But also individual funding, basically we mean projects like CLAP, visual arts, because of artists are individuals. The organizational funding, basically we'll talk about the companies like performing arts companies, your music, your opera organization, your dance organization, they fall within that category. And the next slide basically is the amounts that go to these categories. As you can see, company funding, which is a three-year program that we fund organization an amount for the period of 3 years, is the largest among the other categories, followed basically by the orchestra funding, which consume around 15 million. And these other areas that they are what we distribute annually to arts organization as a separate program. A number of applicants funded per discipline. Now, the highest, I will just highlight the highest of recipients. As we can see, visual arts stands at 85, and music and opera stands at 69, theatre and musical stands at 66, and of course the others, and craft as well, as you can see, is 64, and the other stands below 60. But in terms of a rent value, even though craft in the previous slide was high, it is far much more exceeded by theatre and musical theatre, multi-discipline as well. And because of the music and opera, you can see that it's actually almost half of the pie is because of the three orchestras are included within that allocation. Number of applicants funded per province. This is the issue that I've highlighted earlier, that the three provinces, which are KZN, Western Cape, and Gauteng, receive the largest. But if you can see, in terms of the number of applications that were funded, you know, in this slide, Eastern Cape, it has gone higher by 44. Signal that the also, the Eastern Cape Provincial Arts and Culture Council is actually becoming more stable. In fact, the Eastern Cape Arts and Culture Council is got a greater budget than the other PACC. So it is basically improving. But I must say that at the Eastern Cape as well, we fund primarily crafts because there are around 16 craft hubs. At the Eastern Cape. As you can see, Western Cape is 80, Gauteng is almost half of the pie as well, it's 154. So the status quo still remains. But in terms of a rent value, now if you look at the Eastern Cape, which previously was spending at 44, now it's 3 million, whilst Gauteng tops the list, followed by Western Cape. It's almost the same as Gauteng in terms of the rent value, but in terms of the number of applications, the Western Cape was leading Gauteng. So these are some of the challenges that we're dealing with in terms of application. And primarily it is because of the NAC does not determine, the council itself does not determine which amount of application, look at the artistic merit of the application, and then decide which application gets how much. It is not something that is predetermined. And these are the things, one of the challenges that as the NAC, we are working through around it through our funding model, that we are trying to address.
Who is the panel?
The panel. I think there are two members of council.
Well, you want to speak about things that we don't know.
Okay.
Let's give us, no?
Who is the panel? I didn't understand your question. Chairperson, the panel are independent people. They are not officially residing within the NEC. They are actually experts of the arts out there, whom we are appointing. The council has appointed during the beginning of the financial year to assist in terms of evaluating application forms. They only come at the NAC when they will sit and evaluate application forms and make those recommendations to council. And council will then sit and then review their decision and then approve those applications. So they are not employees of the National Arts Council, and they are independent members. But the panel themselves, they are chaired by the members of council, the advisory panel. Yeah.
Those are not family members.
So these are the challenges that we experience within the sector, chairperson and honorable members, that we don't really determine, because sometimes it is a challenge because of the decisions basically are based on the artistic merit and not really on which province should be allocated. So these are the things that through the strategy, the funding model, we attempted to address. Perhaps as we move forward, you will be seeing a change in terms of the distribution of funding. Thank you. I will hand over to the CFO to make a presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and the CEO. I'll move forward, giving the financial review of the 2010-11 financial year. I'll be looking at the, UTEC annual financial statement highlights, looking at the introduction, grant income analysis, expenditure analysis, operating expenditure breakdown analysis, projects and budget analysis, surplus funds analysis, cash flow analysis, and also financial highlight summary of the statement of financial performance, position, and cash flow, and also give a summary of the audit history and the basis for this adverse audit opinion and the corrective actions to be taken by management. I would like to introduce that Section 16, Subsection 2, Subsection A of the NAC Act states that 75% of the funding allocated by government shall be distributed as grants in support of the arts, and the remaining 25% will be utilized for operational expenses. On this slide, I'm just giving the grant income analysis, looking at 2008 and 2009, 2009 and 2010, and 2010 and 2011, where we could see, the balances and differences, where in 2010 and 11, which is our current, annual financial statement, it did decrease by 18% because of the decrease in funding allocation that we received from National Treasury. And then the other one is the expenditure analysis, where we look at our expenditure. In 2010-11, it's just only 1%. Which, if we talk of variances, it's not that much that we could, explain further. And then operating expenditure breakdown analysis, this gives an overview of, all the expenditures, where the pie is being allocated accordingly. You can see mostly, on salaries, as you can see, about 25%, and 9% for senior management, and also 9% for council members. And then look at project and budget analysis, which are also highlights. We can see where there was an increase of more buzzer, project and budget funded, which we did have an increase of about 6% for 2010-2011. And then we look at the surplus analysis, which, you know, after, you know, all expenditure and income has been done, for 2010-11, we had a reduction of about 79%, which had about 7 million and 104, which was also part of Mino and also part of downtown studios, because we had to consolidate all the income into our own, you know, income statements. And then we look at the cash flow analysis, which also give an, you know, indication of how the money was flowing. For 2010-11, there was a 33% reduction from, you know, from 91 to about 60 million, which mostly was through, you know, 2010 projects, which, you know, we did embark upon, and it reduced our cash flow. And then this is where we give the financial highlight summary of the, you know, financial statement. I could say explain just, you know, the snapshot of the overall income statement, which is clearly detailed into our annual financial statement. So it just shows the, you know, the revenue, the expenses, and the operating income from the surplus from continuing operation, which relates to mostly downtown studios. And then speaking of financial position, which also, you know, highlights, you know, our asset base, how much we have, even the net and asset and liabilities that we have, and also our net assets at the end of the day. And then the statement of cash flow, the same. The detailed one in our annual financial statement where we choose, you know, where most of the cash was allocated to. And then we go to summary of the audit history. We've given a snapshot of about 5 years where, you know, qualifications and matter of emphasis. And then, you know, if there was any, you know, total issue at the end of the year. For 2006 and 2007, we had none. 2007 and 2008, none. 2008 and 2009, we had a matter of emphasis, which were two. And then we looked at 2009 and 2010, we had qualification which were relating to downtown studios. Even the matter of emphasis were related to downtown studios. And then 2010 and 2011, same qualification were more related to downtown studios, and there were three qualifications. The basis for the qualification, I'm just, you know, giving a snapshot, you know, where, you know, we give a background of what really transpired. That in 2008, Dr. Paulo Jotan, the then Minister of Arts and Culture, requested NASA to service the contract in purchasing Fox Street property and downtown studios. And then downtown studios was regarded as a home for local music, you know, for the previous, like Uma Otola Queens, Ulaki Duva, they were the main of them that used to do productions there. And these are our major local artists downtown studios used to record the downtown studios. The initial intent was for NASA to purchase the property and business as a going concern, and to later transfer both the property and the business to the special purpose entity, which was to be established by TAC. But NASA did not get the approval from Treasury to purchase the business and property. This led to the qualification. I just want to give also the, you know, downtown studios current status. What are we doing, you know, where we are? At the board of the special purpose entity was appointed in May 2010 by the former Minister of Arts and Culture, Ms. Tumwani. NAXA is in the process of finalizing the accounting and legal requirements to effect the transfer of both the property and the business to the newly formed STE, which is the special purpose entity. The memo was drafted and sent in October 2011 by NAXA to DAC for the minister to condone and also to condone the purchase and also to authorize the transfer of the business and property to the STE. The basis for the qualification, as you have seen, there were three. It was revenue from non-exchange transactions. In layman's terms, it really says, you know, the revenue from downtown studios should have been included in NEC's books. We shouldn't have separated it as, you know, a transaction held for transfer. But in our view, because we were acting as a conduit, we were not able to do that. That is where we end up, you know, having this disagreement with AG, whereby they said, you know, we should have recognized that as a revenue. But the management action has noted the qualification and has agreed to take the appropriate remedial measures to resolve the issue through the development and implementation of an action plan, which we have in place. The action plan is in the program and is expected to be put in action, but not later than the 31st of January 2012. The second one was non-current telco transfer. As I've already stated earlier, we didn't take downtown schools as our asset, as I've already stated. We're holding it in trust for the special purpose entity, but in AG's view, we should have just put it there as our asset. But we said this asset, it's not ours, we held it in trust for, you know, itself for transfer to the, you know, the SPE. And then, but we did, you know, agree with AG that we will move forward and change also our management policy, measurement policy in relation to the general recognized accounting standard, which is GRAP 17, whereby we need to input the asset into our books. And lastly, the business combination and consolidated financial statement. Because we didn't agree on how we should disclose that asset. If you can check our annual financial statement, that's what, you know, a consolidated financial statement. But because they wanted we should have used, you know, it as an asset in our books, we use it as asset help for transfer. That is where we had a disagreement with the business combination and consolidated financial statement. But to satisfy and moving forward, we said we'll perform the process and process using accounting for business combination as required in terms of IFRS 3 and GRAP 6. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting CFO, for the last part on the issue of finance. I think it's very therefore, as CFO, to account for the money. I will allow for the members to elaborate on the report of the National Arts Council. As for him, I'm sorry. I will take it in order. Duncan also.
Thank you to National Arts Council. You know, I suppose Jefferson, this committee did talk about the acronym. I think, you see, our brain, some of us can't absorb any longer. The SPEs and the what? Now, yes, we understand some of them. I think this has been said previously. I would like whoever is giving us a presentation must explain thoroughly. And you are so fast, especially the acting CFO. But nevertheless, it was a comprehensive report. I just want to understand one thing, whether this issue of the downtown studio is so complex. What is this downtown? Is it a subsidiary of the National Council, or what is it exactly, and who funds it? Is it the DAC? We need such a clarity, and I am told here by the chairperson that you are both acting. Now, I want to understand whether the CEO, the previous CEO, was informed about the problems that they are incurring at the downtown. I also need to understand from DG, am I hearing things? You are introducing the lady next to you as the CEO, and we have an acting CEO. Of downtown, okay. Oh, because I don't think it was quite clear to us. Now, I wanted to know whether
the CEO, the then CEO, was informed about this, and whether you consulted with DAC so far about this. What is the outcome of the interaction between you and the DAC? Because our acting chair, we've got acting all over. Our acting did allude to this, that it's going to be very difficult for me to get out of the disqualification that we are getting from the AG if this is not resolved. The experts, I don't think we understood who are these people. It's just experts that are out there, and I had our acting chairperson say, are they family members? If we don't get an explanation, that would assume that they are family members or friends. We need an explanation. On this, I'm sorry, Chair, to take your time. I've got it.
I'll take your time on the story. I think
on page 8, it says here on the number 7 bullet, I think, a process of revamping the grant management system to reduce the funding turnaround time by approximately 30% has been started. And I suppose this committee had a concern about the funding model that you adopted. Maybe you can elaborate more on that. It's Gauteng Western Cape on page 9. Western Cape on bullet 4, Gauteng, Western Cape and KZN still remain the provinces that receive a greater portion of funding. Why is that? Why is that? I think so far, Chairperson, thank you very much for your patience. Those are the questions that I would like to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Ma'am Stoller. I think now the response will be shared by the chair and the board and the CEO and the CFO and the DG and the CEO of the downtown studios. I think we will give the relevant people the chance to explain to us on the questions and concerns that the honourable member raised. Honourable Zuzana.
Thank you. Do we have time frame? Because we do have a process of consulting. We would agree with you that you want to renew all those things. But do we have any time frame that by this time for sure you know that you would have done this? And on page 9, yeah, the whole story of Bochum saying Western Cape and Cape the sense of this world. And I'm checking why culture issues are like given bigger portions in those areas. Because my understanding as we bring this all the processes, not necessarily because I said I'm responsible, is that in the rural areas are those people are interested in culture more. Or they live their life as culture. It has nothing to do with interest, you know, that's how they live. They need to be given a bigger portion of the community. And can you explain why it has to be more complicated? I know.
His mom's story is growing.
I want to know why you think about mom's story. And then, what partnership? Check the partnership. Because I know of some very good culture. I don't know how to call it. Noria Mabasa, if you're aware of that, in the Bongo. She cannot write the report if she's given money to you. She's not able to sit down and what is that in your... Yeah, she can't. And because of that, she cannot get next because they want the report first. Is there any education that you do to these people? Because without you giving a report, you cannot be assured that next year you will, the following year you will get anything. And on page 10, yeah, it's the same because I wanted to check your standards. That was the level of education in this country, and yeah, I think that's covered. What informs on page 11 your choice of that Pretoria, less than Pretoria University, which is like very expensive in Pretoria? Go there and there and start to. Why can't you even go there? And on page 13, where got this? Your number of your visual eyes, your class, they are all there. But can we know from which provinces these are? Because you can find that all of them are from maybe one province. The 85 people, no Chinese people. No, people, those visual arts, if you have 85 of them, but are they services to do that within our 9 provinces? And the same process follows on all these other ones. And, yeah, I think that's where I pause for now. Thank you.
Members, I'm supposed to maybe not, I don't want to restrict members how many questions are they asking, but I think. It's supposed to see, but I will let you finish the questions. When they come back, then they can respond towards it. Honorable Robert?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to start off by saying I think it's extremely worrying that we have the National Arts Council, which is responsible for such an important part of the arts community, to receive an adverse opinion. However, one realizes that it is mainly due to the downtown studios, so I also echo the whole idea that this must now be resolved for once and for all so that your books can be clean. Secondly, I would also just in way of comment state to the acting CEO and to the chairperson that I'm slightly disappointed in the annual report. In previous reports, there were actually addenda where we could see who received what. And that would give us a very good indication of the recipients of the different bursaries and the different grants, etc. So perhaps you could look at that for the next report. When we get to downtown studios, I'm also concerned now, Acting CEO, that you refer to the fact that actually, according to the Act, NAC is prohibited from obtaining any kind of acquisition related to the art industry. So right from the outset, this whole process was, one could almost say, unlawful. And now we have a situation where the minister will actually have to condone such an unlawful activity, which I think is very worrying and sends out very, very bad signals. And I think this is something that should not happen again. I don't know how it happened that the legal advisors did not pick this up at the time, and now 4 years on, we must 2008, 3 years on, we still sit with this problem. Then I have two specific questions. The one relating to the supply chain management. You didn't really mention that in your report now. If one reads through the annual report, that is a serious problem. The Auditor General also picked it up, and I think that I would like to know what are your steps to rectify the supply chain management processes. And then I'm also concerned when I think of the number of inquiries I get from people in the arts world, and you should know that artists are struggling. There isn't enough money. They are dependent on NAC for funding. But you have one funding session, and then for bursaries. Is that enough? Because in the arts world, things happen. It's not necessarily planned long before. So I now sit with people requesting. They want funding, but now they have to wait till next year, and then it takes another few months before they actually get anything, and they miss the bus. So couldn't you perhaps look at more funding sessions per year? Thank you.
So, I think I will go with the line.
Thank you, Jefferson. I want to agree with my colleague on the fact that I believe that the report is not quite in line with the strategic plan because it does not give us a clear picture as to the targets that's been achieved by the National Council. And then I would also like to, Jefferson, raise a concern. And I hope with the new appointed council that they will please look at that. If I look at in the annual report on the, not the presentation, but in the annual report on page 19, when you look at the remuneration of councillors, it is a concern because it refers to that they're supposed to meet four times at least. But there are so many meetings that they do have. Now, I can understand that it is an important thing that they must probably have a fifth or a sixth meeting. But it all varies. Now, I don't know who's sitting in this meeting. It concerns me it doesn't look as if there's a continuity when you look at the one attend meeting 10 times, the other one once. The other nine, the other five, so there's a lot of apologies and all of that. And then it concerns me that, for instance, one member getting 99,000 and then, you know, the one that only had more or less three is 7,000. For the council to look at that and maybe to explain to us what is the per sitting, what is the remuneration per sitting, so that we can work it out for ourselves, but it is really a concern. And then I would just like to find out the CEO, the former, Mrs. Lebeta, in her reporting year, she, or is it under, sorry, Chair, let me just, maybe I'm wrong, maybe that is not where I want to be. No, I'm not. It's on page 23 and the Human Resources Report. They state there with regard to male, female, the gender appointments. Now, they talk about black, male, 10. What does black mean in terms of appointment in the National Council? I just want them to verify that. questions for later. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
What is your chief? Or chief, sorry.
The chief operator. Chairperson, mine is just an emphasis on the question of downtown studio. Just an emphasis. Without the knowledge of how it started and through the governance, when this downtown studio was supposed to be bought, by who, what, there was no observation what is going to happen, and then the anticipation thereof. But now it is becoming a problem, because now it sounds like, you know, it is something related to why do we does the organization get the qualifications. It seems as if it's something related to we always have this kind of qualification from the Auditor General's report, because if one in two or three sentences can come down to Mother Earth and try to explain in the more literal way what happened that this downtown studio today become, you know, a stumbling block or something that, you know, give you a sense that we always get qualification because of the purchasing of this downtown studio. Weren't there no indication of a plan how to purchase this so that it can do this, and thereafter the result will be this? So we are not checking anybody's capability here, but I'm just checking the strategy of doing that, despite being, you know, given an order by the minister or whoever and so on. But from the immaterial background, let's find out the reality, therefore, so that we can be able to check and see if things are going accordingly. And then the other one, of course, it's a performance in terms of the surplus. You know, let's get the literal interpretation again. I'm just using this for us to understand it correctly. The literal interpretation. Surplus, it means that you have got funds and then you use it and then you remain with the change, my friend. That means you can do all the things with the money that you have, and then you remain with some other. So we'd like to check, are we interpreting it according to financial, you know, management and so on, or are we technically to understand it according to those people who are dealing with finance and so on? Just literally explain to us and so that we can catch the train and go together to Johannesburg. Thank you.
We can proceed.
First, in the time manager, each one of them, that would be a lot of money. We sang a little walk over there, we sang a gold about Tetanovan, what we found this up. We went to a Bosatil and Obus, Abasani, Nabanduan, Abamaba Patanation, and the president structure as on that was on your place. We are willing about saying, well, claiming their one man of them. Experience, yeah, for demand. Thank you. Number one is to actually really look at the question of the council itself. I don't see the organogram. I don't know whether it is somewhere else. And I would like to actually see that. And also, when jumping on to the annual report, I'm looking at the term of council. I understand that it was sometime, you know, what expired, and we just need to probably check, you know, the term of office for the council itself. We need to be clear about that. And also, seeing that you do have the management structure, CEO, CFO, and so on and so on, it would be proper to probably have a picture of your organogram that leads to that structure clarified. It makes it easy for some of us, you know, to understand. But I must also jump to your page 30 on the basis for qualification. Mine is to express my satisfaction on bullet 2 from the above, from the top. It is quite clear, and I think it's okay with me. Bullet 2 from above, that is 4.1. I'm okay with that. The only concern I have that is not very much clear is that with the purpose that is clear on this one, how do you draw the active participation of the emerging groups on the ground? Yeah, that would be concerned, and it would be proper for one to clarify that. On your page 5, without reading on to the last bullet, which is quite clear, but my question would be, in what way do you foster the expression of a national identity? You know, if you could probably just clarify that. No one does better, no one does okay. On page 6, bullet 2, one of your outline mandate or objective of the council is as it written there. I needed to check out how would the council help, you know, with the resources for the historical disadvantaged. And I don't know, how do you identify those disadvantaged, because everybody is disadvantaged, but you know better. I'm referring to a particular group, but then it would be nice really to check out that and understand it more. You know, the special resources that you're talking about. On bullet 4, on the same page, promoting and facilitating national and international liaison between individual and institution. It's very interesting. How are you doing that for the benefit, especially of the historically disadvantaged groupings? You know, not sidelining those that are working with us. And can I just probably pose just there? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
general report. Speaking about the provincial representative, I just want to know why it's only 8 provinces that have representatives. There is one province which is Northwest, it's not there. Can you explain to us? And the second one is on page 11. I just want to find out why the chief financial officer is dismissed. And the third one, I just want to know if the council monitor the project that they funded during the year under review. If yes, can you give the number of the projects that you have monitored and the one that you failed to monitor? Thank you.
I think I also want to conclude on the questions for the first step before we break for tea. To follow up what the Honorable Lucifer was asking about the CFO, mine will be on the CEO. Why did the CEO ever sign? And I want also to check how far is the investigation? If there is an investigation. Secondly, I also want to ask a question of the downtown studios. Where are the studios located? If there is 3, why is it only one is functional? What happened with the other 2? And what is the cost to rebuild or to upgrade the studios? Yes, the council is the appointed concrete council members. I hope and I trust that you will give leadership to this organization, to take this leadership, this organization forward. Yes, you're getting this entity with a lot of challenges. And as I read in the report of the HE, it spelled out that there was no proper leadership. It's not my words, I read it here in its conclusion. So I hope and I trust that this board will be appointed by the minister. Will really take this entity forward. It is a very important entity. It is so in the report. On the issue of the bursary, as Honorable was already saying, I read some of the pages here. Why you have more or less 40 million rand for bursary? If I read it quite right here. You have more or less 40 million rand for bursary. But I only saw 7 million rand is already allocated. What is the delay? If the board was taking the decision next 12 months, so why are the money not be? Yeah, is it that you do it in phases? And if you're giving the bursary to students, how did you monitor it? And where and when those students will be finished? To which provinces or to which areas are they maybe put into? We can't just, actually when I was in labor committee, when the CETA was still going under them, they were talking about apprenticeship and whatever. And we're saying that we must monitor very closely because some of those students is drop out or whatever. So I will also maybe say the same on the issue of the bus. On page 78, the Auditor General talking about the town studios, but they also talk about Oak Street properties. What did they mean by them when they're saying the transaction was concluded by the NAC on behalf of the Department of Agriculture, approval for this transaction was not granted as required by Section 54.24 of the PFMA. I think we want to understand why you are saying that. Also, if you have a budget, you put in a budget towards your program, you are receiving that income from the department and from maybe the other income. But why are the money not be spending? Because there's still rollovers of your money. While those people who need some, those people who are in the music industry, they need some more funding. Even there's some 900 and something applications for persons, but there's still rollovers. I think, and lastly, before we break for tea, that's the issue of not to reply to the PFMA. Why? Because the PFMA is clearly, and if people don't understand what is the PFMA section is saying or what different sections is saying, and then you must train in your people so that they can know how much they implement some of the programs and things. Because then, if you not apply to the PFMA, I think it's a part of undermining the Constitution of South Africa. Even for us who are sitting here as MPs, we pass in legislation and put measures in place in our country so that we can move forward. I was stopped there, I think we will, it's now 11:30, we'll break for tea and then we came back, we can respond and then we'll give a last round after responding so that we can get the way forward. Thank you very much, we break for tea. For 10 minutes, I think.
Thank you.